Church, say amen. Amen. Church, say amen again. Amen. Everybody will be happy over there. Now, the good thing is that does not stop you from being happy over here. You can be happy two places. You know, we're going to shout and we're going to sing God's praise. I believe that we need to practice shouting and singing now. So we'll know what to do when we get there. Some of us have gotten so used to playing church and have become so religious that we forget sometimes it's just good to just shout and sing. Sometimes you just got to shout and just thank God for what he's done. You ever been in your car one and just was driving and just reflecting on what God did to you and just said, yeah! Yeah, sometimes you just got to shout. I know I look at my life and I, you know, sometimes I cry too. I'm not knocking other emotions, because sometimes you just got to cry. But I sure love those days when I'm just riding, I'm thinking about God, and I just get a chance to just raise my hand and shout. Bible says that we lift up holy hands. And I realize why some of y'all won't lift your hands. They ain't holy. Holy hands ought to be lifted and praises ought to be given to God Almighty, who's done great things for us. He's a good father, isn't he? And I'm so glad that today is the day that we celebrate fathers that are here on earth, but I'm also glad that every Sunday is Father's Day, because we celebrate what our father did for us. But we're happy to have all of our fathers that are here in the building. It's important to be able to recognize fathers. Now, I know that you know, lines won't be long in restaurants and everything, quite like they are on Mother's Day. But it's good to just celebrate fathers. And children and mothers and, you know, nieces and all of you who are celebrating, you're trying to figure out what you want to get your father. And I know mothers love gifts, and what fathers do too. We like gifts too. But what a father really wants, a godly father really wants his child to love God. And the best way that you can appreciate a father is by giving your life to God and by serving God in everything you do. My father, I think I've done okay in life. You know, may had a few accomplishments, but to this day, no matter what it is I've accomplished in my secular life, it's my commitment to God that my father cherishes most. So children, if you're thinking, how do I celebrate my daddy? Love God. And you can buy him a tie, that's nice. You know, give him some cufflinks, a nice clock, or whatever it is that you do, a nice dinner. But if you really want to celebrate a father, just serve God. Amen. Now, I know that we have a lot of fathers in the audience today, and everybody that is a father, just stand up. Just stand up and let us see you. Let us see these daddies. Yeah. Amen. Amen. That's a blessing. Stand up, fathers. Don't sit down. Sit down. I want you to look at these men, because these men could have been anywhere they wanted to be this morning, but they chose to be in the house of God. These men do their work, and they go about it with very, very little accolades, and they don't care much about it. They're the first people when the alarm goes off at night, they're the first people to get up. When the water starts to leak from the ceiling, they're the people that you call. When a dude start acting funny with their daughters, this the man you want to look for. You know, when things go wrong and there's some work that needs to be done, but work that doesn't really need praise, these are the people that stand up. And I love that. When your roof got a hole in it, that's your man. When the bills need to be paid, this should be your man. Yeah, and I know we've missed on some of our roles, but fathers do go about doing the work, and they do it silently many times. They pray for you at night when everyone else is sleeping and tucked away. They go in their closets and they talk to God about their families. They think and they wrestle over how they can serve and how they can grow their children and how they can help their wives. Now, they don't always get it right, but these men are committed to doing what God has called them to do, and that is being spiritual leaders for their family. So give another round of applause for our fathers. Have a seat, daddies. I'm excited about Father's Day, but not nearly as much as I'm excited about the Lord's Day. And I understand that Father's Day, just like Mother's Day, is a day of both celebration and also a day of reflection and sometimes mourning. Because some of us don't have our fathers with us. And we didn't have our mothers with us. So it's important for us to not only celebrate those men that are here, but to take the time to remember those who have gone on before. So just let's take a second of just quiet time. And let's just think and think about and pray about those fathers that are not here with us today. Amen. It's the Lord's Day, and fathers get their examples from God himself. When we're looking to try to define what a father should look like, when we're looking and we're trying to connect, and we're looking to figure out what it is that we should be, the only example that fathers have is God himself. And we try our best to be what God has called us to be. Turn your Bibles to Luke, the 15th chapter. Now, we've worked through this passage of scripture a number of times just this year alone. I've preached from this passage of scripture, I know, at least two times this year. The first time that I preached from it, we talked about the prodigal's brother. And we talked about the attitude that the prodigal's brother had and how he had a negative attitude and he wasn't able to celebrate the work or the return of his brother. And then we also preached about the prodigal. And we looked at the middle verses and we preached a sermon called Inventory from the Pig Pen. And I think that all of those things are important to look at when you look at Luke, the 15th chapter. But if we really are studying the Bible and we're really studying this passage of scripture, we realize that the most evidence or what we learn most about in Luke 15 is not about the prodigal's brother, nor is it about the prodigal son. It's really about the father. Because the father shows us some wonderful attributes and the way in which he deals with his children is just amazing to me. So if you really want to study this passage, and I know that theologians have put in your Bibles right around verse 11, right as a heading, the prodigal son, I challenge you to study this passage of scripture a little bit more, but don't study it looking at the prodigal son, and don't call it the parable of the prodigal son. Study it from the paradigm of the parable of the loving father. Because we learn a lot about the father when we look at this passage of scripture. Luke 15, the 11th chapter, Luke 15, the 11th verse says, Jesus said, a certain man had two sons. The younger son said to his father, Father, give me my share of my inheritance. Then the father divided his estate between them. Soon after, the younger son gathered everything together and took a trip to a land far away. There he wasted his wealth through extravagant living. When he had used up his resources, a severe food shortage arose in that country, and he began to be in need. He hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into his fields to feed the pigs. He longed to eat his fill from what the pigs ate, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired hands have more than enough food, but I'm starving to death. I will get up and go to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against you and against heaven. I no longer deserve to be called your son. Take me as one of your hired hands." So he got up and went to his father. While he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was moved with compassion. His father ran to him, hugged him, and kissed him. Then the son said, "Father, I have a sin against heaven and against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son." From this passage of scripture, I would like to offer you up the title, A Good Daddy. A Good Daddy. Now, I know that our roles are often, or fathers often fall short of what it is that we need to do. I know sometimes we need to be places that we're not. And sometimes we find ourselves working too much. Sometimes we find ourselves not being as compassionate as we should be. Sometimes we find ourselves being quick-tempered. Sometimes we find ourselves hard to deal with. Y'all gonna be silent all day? If you got a daddy, then you done ran into some of these things. Sometimes men are just hard to deal with. Women, that's your chance to say, hey, oh, hey, man. Yeah, okay, sometimes we just hard to deal with. We're a tough case to crack. Sometimes we can be honorary. Sometimes we can be silent. Sometimes we can not be affectionate. There's just some things that we just don't do well sometimes. And let me tell you, ladies and children, it's not that we don't want to be good. We want to be everything that you have called us to be, God has called us to be, but we made a little different. You know, we cut a little different. You know, and if you're being honest, there are some advantages to being cut a little different. Let me give you an example. My daughter, we have visitors often, and my daughter is a people person, and she loves to enjoy and deal with guests. And but sometimes the guests can stay a little too long. Y'all ever had people like that? And sometimes the guests can stay a little too long, and my wife is gracious. She'll continue to say, do you want something else to eat? Would you like another drink? Would you do all this? And my daughter and my son, too, they'll start to get tired of the people being in the house. And what'll happen is my daughter, especially when she was younger, when she got tired of people coming into the house or they would just overstay, she would find herself to me. And she would get all up underneath me. And she would just kind of lean and get tired and just kind of lay around. And I, at first, I didn't know what it was she was doing. But that was her sign to tell me, Daddy, I'm tired of these people. Make them go home. And I learned really early that's what she was doing. So when I would see my kids begin to start to have negative behavior after people would get there or be there too long, I would go on downstairs. And I would go in and say, well, thank you for coming. I don't know where you're going, but you got to get out of here. And my daughter had a certain confidence that if she let Daddy know how she was feeling, Daddy would do everything he could to make it right. If there was somebody bothering my daughter or my son or even my wife, when people start acting funny at the school, when they start dealing with my wife a little funny, she stopped talking to the people. I'll get a call in the middle of the day, and she'll say, did you see that email from the school? And I say, no, I didn't see that email from the school. She said, well, I want you to look at it. And I would look at the email, and I say, okay, what you thinking? I think you ought to go say something. She knows at that point in time that that's a role, that's my role. And she wants to be the nice mama who brings cookies. But she wants me to be the daddy to say, cross that line again, it's going to be some problems. See, so there is a role that we have. And that role is both a gift and a curse. Because we are made to be a little bit harder. We are made to be a little bit more rough around the edges. And that benefits us in some areas. There are times when we need to let that go. And we struggle to let that go. So the question is, we have these behaviors that we are used to doing. And sometimes when we have conversation with our kids or with our wives, they'll tell us what they want us to do. Help us to be a little bit better. And Brother Jones, I don't know how you are, but I know when my wife tells me what she wants me to do, sometimes I don't necessarily like it, but I try. And I try. And I can usually get it right for about 3 to 4 weeks. And then a month later, I start. Y'all, come on, y'all, help me. I start acting like I've always acted. And I was trying to figure out, why is it that I am able to do what I need to do for a certain period of time? Why is it that I am able to be good for a certain period of time, but I find out I end up being a little rough again? So when I was studying scripture, I realized that the Bible says that a man or a person needs to clean their house. But the cleaning part is not as important as what is next. The Bible says that when a devil is put out of a home, he goes and he searches around and he looks for another home to come in. Y'all follow me? And once he can't find another home, he returns back to his first home. And it says when he comes back to his first home, he comes with seven more evil, wicked demons. Now, seven is the number of perfection. That means when the devil comes back, he comes back with a perfect plan to mess you up. See, but the Bible doesn't say, he says, when the devil comes back, he comes back and he finds the area unoccupied. And he gets right back in to his old spot. So I start to ask myself the question, why is it that when I clean my behavior up, why is it that when I try to be better, I cannot maintain that? And I realize what's happening is not that I don't know what I don't know how to clean up. It's that I have not quite embraced a replacement behavior to put in that unoccupied spot. Y'all follow me? Now I'm gonna get into that a little bit more in a couple weeks, because I got a sermon called "Why Can't I Get Better?" But just for now, it's replacement behaviors are important. Okay, so I start searching and I said, man, what do I need to be a good daddy? What behaviors do I need to put in that unoccupied area? And when I started to search the scripture, I was taken to Luke 15 and I got to the prodigal's father. And I had to really identify and investigate his behaviors. Now, men, I don't care what the women do today, but you take some notes, because this is the behaviors that we need to be able to maintain being good daddies. So the Bible talks about, I'm going to get in this thing really, really quickly, because I know y'all want to take your husbands and fathers out to eat. Look, everybody got quiet. You saw that? Y'all ain't no good. Oh, man. Fathers, the only day on Father's Day, end up grilling out. You know what I mean? Out of goodness. I'm just saying. But I know. So let's look at the scripture. The Bible says that that a young man came, and he said that he came to his father, and he said, Daddy, I want my inheritance now. This young man knew that he was really coming and telling his father, Daddy, you are dead to me. You are not important in my life any longer. And we say, well, no, he didn't say that. Yes, he did. And the reason why I know he said it is because in order for him to have received his inheritance, his father had to be dead. So to take his inheritance from his father and to go off to a foreign country is really, in essence, he's saying, give me my money, I'm through with you. Now, but what I want you to watch is not the son's behavior. It says that he went to his father. Now, he knew what he was going to say to his father. Y'all follow me? But the Bible says that he, watch it, went to his father. So in order for him to be able to go to his father, that meant that his father had to be approachable. Write this down, man. This is important. The daddy had to be approachable. Y'all know, men, sometimes we just hard to talk to. Oh, man. Y'all gonna make me work too hard. We just hard to talk to. We just hard to approach. But the Bible says that the son went to his father. So that means that he knew that his father had to have been gracious. His father would have received whatever it is that he wanted to say. And how do I know that he was approachable? Because the son went to him, and I also see him giving grace to his older son. Go to Luke 15 and verse 28. You see, the oldest son is starting to act a fool. He don't want to come in the house. Y'all follow me? And older son don't want to come in the house. He asked the servant, why everybody so loud? What's going on? And the servant said, your brother came home. And older son said, I ain't coming in the house. And then the father went out to him. And he begged him. He said, son, come on in.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
Come on in. So I know that the father had to be gracious. So men, we have to be gracious. We have to be approachable. Man. But this is the big thing. When we have tried to be better and our family does not approach us because of what we used to be, then it's important for us to be like the prodigal's father and then go approach our families. If your kids won't talk to you, go talk to them. That's what it's about. I know I consider myself a pretty nice person. Y'all can agree. Pretty nice man. But it's sometimes my wife will come to me and say, what Darren said. Darren's my daughter. Darren said she wants to do this and this and that. Or Darren wants to da 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 da. Or Darren said she thought you was upset. And I'm thinking to myself, why didn't Darren tell me? And for a while, I used to get a kind of attitude. Like, why Darren didn't say it? But then I had to reflect. Something about me made Darren uncomfortable to want to talk to me. So then I had to change my paradigm, my perception. Am I going to continue to allow my daughter to talk to me through my wife? Or am I going to go into Darren and say, so what's going on?
Amen.
Am I going to have enough sense to say, well, why didn't you want to go? You know, see, I say get in the car, and they get in the car. And when we get home at night, we lay in the bed, and Kayla say, well, Darren was so nervous about this and this. And I'm like, well, she got in the car with a smile. But she didn't want to let Daddy down. So then I had to start going and taking some private time. Uh-huh. Taking her to get her nails did. Leaving her mom and her brother at home. Uh-huh. And I had to start talking to her. And I got to try to figure out what's going on in your head, girl. Because if I approach you about how you feel, then you'll feel comfortable enough to approach me. So I know that the prodigal's father was approachable. Y'all got point number one, man? Approachable. But he was approachable because he had the habits of approaching his own kids. Secondly, the Bible says in verse 18 and down to 21, the Bible says that as the prodigal son got into the pig pen, he thought to himself, he came to his senses, and he said, how many servants have enough to eat? But here I am sitting here, and I don't have enough, and I'm starving. I'm going to get up and go to my daddy. And I'm going to go to my daddy, and I'm going to say, Father, I have sinned against you and heaven. Look at this. I have sinned against you and heaven. He associated his father with heaven. Point number two, man, you need to be spiritual. Does your kid associate you with heaven? Yeah, okay, it can be quiet right here. Then the question is, what do they associate you with? And see, the only way that son would have associated his father with heaven is that means his father had to have some habits that made him believe that he was spiritual. So the question is, what are your habits? Do you pray with your kids? Ever? Do they ever see you pick up the Bible and study? Ever? Do they ever see you even think about something spiritual? Ever? Do they see you treat your wife kind? Ever? Be quiet, it's cool, just listen. When you reflect on your life and you think about your kids, do they associate you with heaven? Have you had the habits that will teach your kids how to be spiritual? Do you have the habits that will make your kids say, oh yeah, my daddy is godly? Because they watch it. Even when you don't know they watch it. Let me give you a perfect example. When I was about 14 years old, my grandmother passed away. She had a bad accident. Her and my grandfather had a bad accident. And she was in a coma for 81 days. And during the 81-day time, she first was in Fort Smith, Arkansas. And then they couldn't care for her like they really wanted to there. So they airlifted her to Memphis, where her hometown, where she was living. And every weekend, my father and I would drive right after work down to Memphis. Every weekend during that 3-month period. And we would sit there, we would sing and we would pray. We would ask God to heal her. We wanted a miracle to happen. Believed that a miracle could happen. Well, on the 81st day, she passed away. And my mother came to me, woke me and my sister up in the morning, and said, your grandmother's passed away. And we were sad, and we got up, and I went into the room where my father was. And when I got into the room, my father was sitting on the edge of his bed. And he was crying. He was distressed. He was hurt. And I walked in, and I realized that he was having a private moment, and he was struggling. So I started to leave him out. Y'all stay with me. But when I left out, you know, my grandma used to say, every goodbye and gone. When I left out, I didn't all the way leave. I left almost out, and I left a crack in the door because I wanted to see how he was doing. And I wasn't necessarily watching just to be nosy. I was thinking he might need some help in a minute. This is my buddy. I'm going to go and put my arms around him. And I watched him cry. And he cried for a minute. And then I watched him go from the edge of the bed to his knees. And when he got on his knees, he started to pray. And he prayed out loud, Lord, help me. Help my family. Help my brothers and sisters. Help my wife. Help my kids. Help me understand. All these things are the things he prayed. I can almost recite his prayer because it impacted me that much. But then after he got finished praying, he got back on the edge of the bed. And he reached over and he picked up the phone. And he started to call every one of his brothers and sisters, all 8 of them, one by one. And he started to tell them, it's going to be okay. Do you want to pray about it? And I watched him transition from suffering himself to going on his knees and praying, and then to calling his brothers and sisters and trying to give them spiritual advice. So here we go, fast forward this thing 20 years later. Me and my wife having some trouble. We didn't have a loss of our own. I'm struggling. I don't really know what to do. And what was brought to my mind was my daddy. I got near on the side of my bed. I started crying. I had a little trouble. I fell on my knees and I prayed. And I started to pray, and I really didn't know what to ask for, but I remember what he asked for. So I asked for the same thing that he asked for because I saw God brought him through, so I knew he could bring me through. Afterwards, I got up off my knees. I walked down to the bedroom. When I walked in the bedroom, my wife was there. She was upset. My mother-in-law, my father-in-law, her aunt, and her sister. And I said, y'all got to get out for a second. And we cleared the room. And I sat on the bed with my wife, and I didn't really know what to say to her, but I knew my daddy had said to his brothers and sisters. And I said, Kayla, today is just like it was yesterday. God still's in control. You're going to be all right. We're going to be all right. And what I'm trying to tell you is, because I watched him be spiritual, I knew how to respond in a spiritual way. Does your kids associate you with heaven? Because they're watching. The Bible says that he said, I've sinned against you and heaven. Are you spiritual enough? And if you are spiritual enough, does your kid see it? Yeah, we don't have to hide. You don't hide when the basketball game come on. When LeBron James started playing, he started winning or losing, you, oh goodness, God, hey. All of your emotions your kids see. Sometimes you ought to call up the TV and just pray. And they ought to see you do that too. Second point, you got to be spiritual because first, you got to be approachable. Secondly, you have to be associated with heaven. But the only way you can be associated with heaven is that you have the right habits. And those habits have to be spiritual habits. Then the last point, and we get ready to get out of here. The last point says that a son came home, and the son had already practiced what he was going to say. Lord, Daddy, I've sinned against you in heaven. And he says, as he started to come, from afar off his father saw him. And his father ran down. And the Bible says the father kissed him and fell on his face. And he said, he started to tell him, Daddy, I've sinned against you. He said, come on back in here. But what I want to stop and look at is the father ran to him and the father kissed him. And fell on, he was so happy, he just fell on his face. So that means the father was not only approachable, he not only was associated with heaven, but the father was, man, this is hard for us, he was affectionate. He was affectionate. Every now and then, you just got to kiss your kid. I know what you think because I think like you. I know that they should know I love them. I go to work every day. No, they don't make that connection. You got to make it for them. I love you, boy. That's why I go to work every day. Give me a hug. But what's even more important or even more powerful about the father giving the boy the hug and kiss, what's even more powerful than that is the context in which he gave it. Remember, the boy had just told him, I'm done with you, Daddy. I want my money. I'm gone. I'm through fooling with you. You know how we get men. All you do? All right. Don't come back here no more. Come back here no more. Or when they come back, instead of just saying, boy, I love you, we say, I told you. Yeah, you can be a servant, but that's about it. The boy knew he was wrong because he wasn't even coming asking to get back in his father's good graces as a son. He was coming to ask to be a servant. It was the father's response that was powerful. Even though your kids, your wife, your family disappoint you, you still have to be affectionate. There is no excuse for not being what God called us to be. I know, boy got in the car, drove the car, fooled around, got a ticket, called me, Daddy come get me, come back home, he bring me this ticket, fool going 80 in a 55. And when you see the ticket, you start going off, how about you change this? Say, boy, you got this ticket. No, instead of knocking him over his head, say, you know what, I'm just glad you're alive. Amen. Give me a hug. You're going to pay the ticket, but give me a hug. I'm trying to help you. If you could just respond to our families the way that God responds to us, then we'll be a lot better. See, the man is responsible for teaching the family how to love. Now, I know we have messed that up, and we have made the wife be the loving one, and the wife be the one to be responsible for teaching them how to love. Watch this. The Bible says, wives, submit to your husband. I know y'all ready to curse me out now. Wait. Before it says that, it says, men, love your wives. That's what it says. Men, love your wives and give yourself to it like Christ gave himself for the church. The commandment to love did not go to the wife. The commandment to love went to the man. The wife's role was to submit. Watch it. Y'all want to know why we have trouble, why women have trouble submitting to their husbands? Watch it. The word submission has two words put together. Sub, a prefix. Sub meaning what, Megan and Lauren? We talked about this Wednesday. What? Under. Under what? The mission. You follow me? Submit. Submission. What mission am I under? The mission that my husband has. What's that? To love. If I am loving, she can submit. But she's not submitting as if I am in control of her. She's submitting to my commandment, love. Well, what does that look like? Love is patient. Love is kind. Love doesn't boast. Imagine if you were that, what your wife would be when it comes to submitting. So if your family don't know how to love men, it's your fault. That's your commandment. You say, that's not what that scripture means. Yes, it is. Every time you say, well, that means, it means love. Anytime you look at it, means submitting to the love of God, okay? So God, so what? Love the world that he gave his only begotten son. This is my commandment, that you love one another. Come on, y'all. God gave us the same message, gave us the same mission that gave his son. And that's the reason why he compares us, our role to God in the church. So ladies, men first, if you saying, my wife don't want to do nothing I ask her. She always fussing and fighting. Always spending the money. Always doing this. Ask yourself, are you always loving? See, submission ain't a four-letter word. It shouldn't make everybody upset. It only makes you upset when you don't understand, when a man don't know what his role is. So let's look at that. So you got to be associated with God. You have to be approachable. You got to be affectionate. Hug your kids. Hug your wife. Kiss your. When the last time you just kissed your wife? I ain't talking about at night when you trying to get some loving. See, to be honest, we start trying to get love. You know, men, we kiss with an agenda. Take her out to eat. I'm taking her out to eat, get her some nice roses.
Right.
Hug her through the whole movie. Walk around the mall with her holding our hands. Give her a kiss. And when we get home, we show affection with an agenda. The question is, when the last time when you were affectionate without an agenda? Just to show your wife what affection is. My wife get on to me sometimes. She say, you know, when the last time you just held me? And I used to get bothered by it. Sometimes it still irritates me, I ain't gonna lie. But it's a good question. Because every time I associate the last time I held her, I think I'm holding her, trying to get a little hug, trying to move a little close. I'm only holding her because I'm hoping to be intimate later. When the last time you were just affectionate? Just sat in the room, didn't say nothing. Girl, lay your head right here. Lay here. You know, women like that kind of stuff. What you doing tonight? Nothing? What you doing? I'm just trying to be close to you. Come on, y'all. That's how we got them. Come on now. Come on, baby. Let's be real. That was your line. What you doing, girl? What you doing? You all right? I just want to come see you. Want to go walk in the park? Yeah, I got a picnic basket. We did all of those things to get a heart. And then became daddies and forgot. Became husbands and forgot. But the prodigal's father was affectionate. So, what are you saying, Brother Mason? I want all of us to be good daddies. And I know that we can be good daddies. But the only way that we're going to be good daddies is that we got to adopt the right behaviors. We got to figure out what it is that we need to be that makes us approachable. You know, it hurts my feelings when my wife got to tell me what my daughter says. I mean, I got to do a little better. You know, I want to make sure my children associate me with heaven. And I ain't just talking about me getting up and preaching. I ain't just talking about leading a song, reading a prayer. That ain't what your kids looking at. As a matter of fact, some of us, we know what you're really doing when you get up to lead prayer. You know, when you get up to lead prayer and then your family start going, ugh. Look at him. He ain't prayed all week. Now he's showing out in front of these people. Come on. I'm talking about habits that are at home. You start praying your husband. As soon as you start leading the song, your wife, get him and take the kids to the nursery. Talking about what a fellowship. Come on. What I'm trying to tell you is that you got to be associated with heaven, and the only way you do that is by having spiritual behaviors. And then the last thing is, you got to learn how to show some affection. Now, wives, you got to help us. We're going to study the Bible to try to get it. But tell us. Tell us. Not when you're mad. Tell us when you're happy. Come on, I'm just trying to help everybody. Don't fuss at us once we messed it up. My wife, when she get the best out of me, is when I'm in a good mood. And she said, baby, come over here and sit next to me. You know what I do? I go sit. But once she fuss at me and then say, you'll never sit next to me, then I don't want to do it. Help us. We're not made the way you made. If you want us to love you a certain way, show you attention in a certain way, tell us. Y'all, they can't be that dumb. Yes, we are. We that dumb. We that dumb. Help us. But help us out of love. Men, I'm going back to you. It will be easy for them to help us out of love if we are loving. It's your role. Now we look at the Luke 15 chapter. The big overall picture is that the way that Father is how God is with each of us. So men, if you're trying to figure out what is it that I need you to do, when it all boils down to it, find you some Christ-like behaviors. And if you are like Christ, you'll be the good daddy that you need to be. So you heard about how good this prodigal's father is, the loving father is. Well, I'm here to tell you that God is so much better. And he's so good that he sent his son. He sent his son to die. And he sent his son to die for y'all crazy folks, us, for us. And he didn't die because he did anything wrong. He died because we did something wrong. But the good thing about it, he didn't stay there. He got up. Oh, and when he got up with everything he needed, all power in his hands. Yeah. He got up. And now when we walk, we walk with a certain kind of swagger. I walk different. You know, Jay-Z say, my swag different, my bag different, my wife Beyonce, I brag different. Come on, y'all know what I'm talking about. My swag different, my brag different. My father's God, I brag different. Yeah, you walk with a different swagger, but it ain't because you worked anything, it's because you got a father that's worth more.
Yes.
And that's what we invite you to. We invite you to that kind of fellowship. The kind of fellowship that would allow you to be able to be with a father that's approachable. A father that is heaven. A father who is affectionate. A father that will love. A father that is patient, kind. A father who does not boast in negative things. That's what we invite you to. You could come. If you're a member of the church and you're saying, man, I forgot how good God was. I ain't even been tapping into that relationship. This is your opportunity to come and get it back right. Because not only is that father patient and kind, right? That father is also a redeemer. That means that he will take you. He's merciful. He's gracious. He'll take you in your messed up state all over again. Oh, that makes me happy. God will take me in my messed up state all over again. Yeah. Can you imagine that? He takes me when I'm messed up and he does it again and again and again. That's why I love that song. I keep falling in love with him. He keeps blessing me over, cleansing me over, loving me over. Yeah. Go ahead and stand to your feet. Go on, stand to your feet and you can start to come. You can start to come. We don't even have to start singing yet. If you need somebody to help you, fathers, if you're saying to yourself, you know what, I just need to refocus my own self. I need to get back to the man that I want to be. I need to be a little bit better. I need to be a spiritual leader. I need to do a little bit more. I didn't even realize that I was responsible for the one. I was the responsible one for teaching them how to love. I didn't even know that was my job. But now I know I'm going to work on it. Yeah, if that's what you are, this is your time to come. Come on, Eric, sing for us right now. Right now as we sing the song of it, I sing it. I keep falling in love with him over